and welcome to a special film session edition of the No Dunks podcast. I'm your host for today, Trey Kirby. We got Tass here. We got JD over there making the magic happen. And we're very excited to welcome our guests today, the directors of the excellent documentary Handle With Care, The Legend of the Nautic Streetball Crew, now available to stream on Apple TV, Prime Video, YouTube, and Google Play. We got Jeremy Shaolin Ryu and Kirk Thomas here, guys. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us about this awesome movie.
What's up? Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the trailer real quick and then we'll get into things.
Yo, there's a scene in Vancouver and these dudes are nasty.
Getting hold of the Nautic, it was like gold dust.
It's folklore. You know what I'm saying? Like legendary folklore.
All right. Is it recording you?
Yeah.
You come from everybody's black to your babe is just me and you.
I had coaches telling me, you know, don't play this jungle ball. Okay, like, you don't want us to play like black people?
That mixtape, it spread like wildfire.
Germany, Australia, Japan.
I'm gonna bust some freestyle moves coming down this court because this crowd is rowdy, dog.
We were just streetball rock stars.
This is the family that I never had until it didn't have it anymore, right?
That's kind of why I've had a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to the two of you.
People might say, well, yeah, it's a long time ago, forget what I was in the past, but it really impacted my life.
It was something really different, and we got an incredible childhood out of it.
I feel like I could become something great.
If you're a streetball sicko, you might know the Nautic Streetball Crew, but if not, can you guys fill in our listeners, our watchers, on who is the Nautic, who are you guys, and where's this doc coming from?
Yeah, I mean, the Nautic's basically, I guess you could say it's the Canadian version of An-1. We were inspired by An-1, and Jer and I were kind of aspiring filmmakers back in the day, and we were lucky enough to stumble on these guys with excellent handles and streetball moves, and then just kind of organically formed into a crew after that and called ourselves the Nautic.
Where'd the name come from?
Do you remember back in the day when like every slam article or every slam cover, it was just like a hip hop title?
Uh-huh.
We kind of just stole that. Like we used to be big into, well, still are big into the Roots. And when the Roots live album came out, they had a song called Hypnotic, but on the live album, it was just called the Nautic. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's, you know, when you're like watching these guys play, it's hypnotic, or especially if you're guarding them, you're getting like hypnotized by their dribbling and stuff. So I don't know. It kind of worked out in the long run.
I think it's awesome. I love the name. Like we said, the documentary is great. We got to see it at All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. Yeah. We had an incredible time. Blew us away. You said you were inspired by An-1 back in the day. What's the time frame of like when you guys linked up, how you got started doing this, how old everybody was? Because y'all are still young. You're very young in the documentary, and the guys that you are videotaping, the Nautic crew, I seem to be even younger than y'all.
Yeah, it's probably like, correct me anywhere I go off track, but it's probably An-1 mixtape volume 2 kind of made its way to Canada, maybe like 98, 99, maybe 98. And then we you know, we're like, oh, we could make a streetball mixtape, and started basically handing the camera to each other and filming ourselves doing not good moves. and then we're at this, you guys probably remember Hoop It Up, which is the big 3-on-3 tournament that used to travel through all the cities, at least in Canada, every summer. And we're filming a game with our friends, and we're like, oh yeah, the continuation of our very crappy mixtape that we're making. And then all of a sudden, there's just like a crowd rushing away from us, like a whirlpool. And we just start following and running with the camera. And we jump above the crowd, holding it up, you know, mixtape style. And there's King Handles, and he, you know, pulls a sham god, hits the layup, and the crowd goes crazy. And then they start doing moves that even the An-1 guys hadn't seen before. And we're like, this is our city. I remember we felt like we were streetball experts because of An-1, and Kirk was like, I said to Kirk, like, do you think they could do these moves on us? And they were like, they could do these moves on anyone. The worst part is the very first move was so sick, and we did the classic thing. I did the classic thing where you hit record to stop it.
Oh yeah.
And then hit start at the end of the move.
We need the tops and tails.
We got everything else. And so we were probably like just finishing high school, 18. And then the oldest members of the crew, like King Handles and Goosebumps, were probably 16. And Rory, aka Disaster Grace, back then was probably like 12 or 13. So that's roughly the ages.
And so this is like late 90s, early 2000s, like you said, And One Mixtape is kind of revolutionizing basketball, bringing street ball to the people, to the masses, making it more visible. But y'all are like 12 through, what, 18, 19 years of age? And what, you must be just be hanging out all the time, going to the park, playing basketball, filming whatever you can?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Oh, to be young again, man. Good old days.
Exactly, yeah.
So you said you started filming each other, yourselves, and then you found the crew and King Handles and everybody doing these fancy moves. When you're going back and watching the footage, did you at least find stuff from your own tapes that you're like, hey, that was actually kind of nice back then?
I mean, I've got a few moves in the Nautic one, a couple like no-look passes behind the back. Stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it definitely was not the highlight, but I mean, we could still ball. It's not as flashy as the boys.
I have a couple blocks. Like before we met the actual, what became the Nautic crew, like Joey and Goose and all those guys, the mixtape was just going to be blocks. what would happen is like I would go to the bathroom in the edit and then I would come back and Kirk would have cut like a 3-clip montage of his own footage in. And be like, let's trim that to one.
Hey, you got to try and sneak him in any way you can, though. Yeah. But so what? The Nautic drops, the first one, pretty big success, or at least an unexpected success. What was it like watching the product that you had made for the very first time?
I mean, the majority of our filming at the beginning, other than Hoop It Up, was at this community center called Don Bosco. And we had a screening there. We invited out all the guys from the crew. And that was the first time we showed it to anyone. And we were very nervous on how it was going to be received. But yeah, everyone was going crazy, running around the gym as if it was like a game and someone pulled off a crazy move. And then back then, there's a lot of street ball message boards. And we created a little Nautic One trailer. Put it up on the message boards and then used my parents. Well, that's where I lived at. I still lived at home at the time and used my parents' addresses, like the mailing address for orders. And then, yeah, just flooding, coming in all the time. Like every day I would just get orders and orders and orders. So it was pretty popular.
Kirk, did I see correctly in an article that at this time you were kind of scamming cassette tapes to be able to actually record these and mail them out to people?
Well, I worked at Rogers Video at the time, and we used to just throw away the plastic cases. But I'm like, oh, we're gonna use these to ship out the Nautic tapes, you know?
Brilliant.
Yeah,
cut down on cost.
Pretty smart.
That was like the life back then, where you know Kirk's working at Rogers Video, I'm working at a bingo hall. That's how we're like financing camera rentals and things like this. And you just you'd like call in sick to work. Like Kirk would call Rogers Video and be like, oh, sorry, I can't come in today. And oh, why? Have you guys ever heard of The Pharmacist? He's a streetball legend from like Mount Vernon, New York. He's going to play at Kitts Beach against my friend. Anyways, and they'd be like, next time, just say you're sick.
I mean, that's pretty good advice as well. You don't need to give a reason. You've mentioned a few great names here. King Handles, one of the big stars of the movie. Rory Grace went by Disaster. I absolutely love the nickname Goosebumps. Were these nicknames they're coming up with, nicknames they're given during the run of play? And did you guys ever get blessed with a nickname?
Go ahead, Jer.
They were there from the beginning, like King Handles, Goosebumps. Occasionally, like some random guy would walk on and it'd be like a Set Free N1 situation where someone would be like, I am Mike. And they'd be like, Killer Cross. All right, you're Killer Cross now. I think Kirk... at some point dubbed me the turnover machine, which wasn't very nice. And like, I don't know if we...
Well, it's a start at least, you know?
Yeah, I'm on the page.
So the first one, a pretty big success. You guys are making things happen on the message boards, and obviously it kind of explodes a little bit. Going into filming for the Nautic 2, it seems like you guys professionalized a little bit. I know you added... a couple of members to the crew, Six Fingers, who literally has six fingers but knocks down shots with that hand. That was incredible to me. And then Disaster, who you said was like 12 years old when he started playing with y'all. What was it when you were getting ready for the Nautic 2? What was your mindset then?
Yeah, the Nautic 2, for Hoop It Up especially, we kind of went all out. Instead of having just like a little crappy handy cam, we rented I think two or three different cameras. So now we're having like multiple angles that we can cut to. The guys all got jerseys with their name on the back, and yeah, we're just more prepared and kind of had a more of a plan.
Your dad worked for the Coast Guard, so we got walkie-talkies.
Yeah,
go to court for.
None of us had cell phones back then, so we're literally walking around with walkie-talkies. It was a scene, man. Actually. It was a scene.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That's like the making of the Not a Crew, right? Number one and number two, but obviously you're doing a documentary now. So you're going back, you're looking at all the old footage. I'm sure you're watching the old tapes, which if I'm not mistaken, you can find them on YouTube. They're not necessarily the easiest to find, and they definitely look like, quality-wise, they were in the 90s, you know, a little grainy mode. And that's just how it was back then. But when did you start to realize we've got a really great story to tell about these guys and that this shouldn't just be making a third mixtape? This should be telling the story, and this is actually going to be a documentary. How'd you figure that out?
Yeah, so we had started filming. We'd kind of kept on filming with Joey, especially King Handles, sort of throughout the years as his story progressed. And he was doing those street ball tours, playing with the Professor, playing against Hot Sauce. And then he went to St. Mary's in the East Coast and became like a CIS Canadian Player of the Year, broke a bunch of scoring records. And then he was doing these G League and D League tryouts. And we were sort of filming with all that, which was nice. So we always knew that maybe like a King Handles documentary as part of like a Nautic 3 release could be something. But then I was at a Red Bull 3-on-3 tournament in Toronto that Joey, who started being like a 3-on-3 master, and they won the Canadian team won the international contest of this Red Bull thing. And we were hanging out with an old friend of Joey's called Ryan Sidhu, who was like, you guys need to make a documentary. And Ryan ended up becoming a producer. He kind of helped us get the money to make it. He was the one who kind of kept pushing us, I think, to make it more than just like a look how cool everyone was story. And then as soon as we started digging, it was like, oh, there's like a pretty powerful story here about some really, really amazing people. And then we just sort of, I think, kept digging that way.
You mentioned that Joey went on to play professionally. He played in college and like lit it up when he was playing for the Canadian universities up there. How soon did you realize that Joey, King Handles, was like the most likely and had the best chance of really making it out of the Not a Crew?
I mean, Joey was always, he's a street baller, but he wasn't doing a lot of like crazy moves that are like illegal moves. Like a lot of the stuff that he would do in a game was legal. Just be like crazy fast crossovers, putting the ball between the legs. So he could play like the right way, but also be flashy. And then throughout the years, his jump shot has just been unstoppable. So yeah, I could kind of tell fairly early on that he was one of the better guys and had aspirations to go further. But I mean, that being said, all the guys can ball and like they all had a shot at going somewhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Yeah, I was on King Handle's YouTube channel today because just being there and being able to watch it at All-Star Game was awesome. I've just been thinking about, Rory has a couple, like there's some good compilations of Rory stuff, which was awesome, obviously, watching. I just like to relive every freaking scene from the movie. So I wanted to know about when all those and-one shoes were given to you guys and they opened up that trunk and were just excited. Can you give a little bit of feedback from that scene?
Yeah. So we were going down we had sent a mixtape to N1 and we hadn't heard anything for a while. And then it was the first streetball tour. So we were talking about going down to Seattle because they weren't coming up to Canada. And they just said, N1 sent us email basically saying, like, what's your guys' address? And then they just shipped us this huge box of shoes and gear. And again, for us back then, like the Nautic One screening, to give an example, was on the like drama theater stage of the community center with like 15 chairs, you know, with the cart, we pulled the curtain back and we watched it on like a 40-inch CRT TV. So all that stuff felt like way bigger and more exciting when N1 contacted us. And then they just shipped us this big box of shoes with no explanation and said, see you guys at the open run. ESPN's going to maybe do an interview. And we just kind of kept it a secret and drove to Goosebumps' house the night before and the Hoop It Up, which was going to be the big Nautic 2 shoot. And Goosebumps is giving everybody haircuts because he was like the sickest barber in the crew. And then we just popped the trunk. And sort of like, you know, the light came off of the shoes and they had I don't know if they had the Latrell Sprewell spinners, but it was like, there was N1 shoes there that hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And it was just a very, very wild scene of like, of guys just being like, I always remember, I still kind of quote to this day, Dauphin Delight saying like, these aren't even shoes, as being like, they're so nice, they're not even the thing. That was like, this is like, you guys know this as people who watch N1, but it was very funny back then that like, when you really liked something, you had to run away from it. the very first time we ever showed the crew the tape was like, we didn't even put it out to VHS. It's on the camcorder. We edited like 30 seconds to a Wu-Tang song and we handed it to these guys that we'd never met. We just filmed them from afar. And we're like, this is what we're thinking of doing. And Johnny Blaze is holding the camera and the thing starts going. And most of these guys haven't really seen themselves at all because there's no cell phone cameras. Most people don't have cameras. And so they never seen this and they all start flipping out and they all sprint away and just start doing laps around the court screaming. And we're like, oh, you know, feeling kind of good. But John is holding the camera and he wants to run away, but he can't because he has to hold the camera. He's just like,
yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes from the documentary is like when you open the trunk and everybody's going through the shoes. There's just like so much joy. And it's like, that to me, like you're watching that and it feels like 16-year-olds who have made it to the absolute peak of the world. And then they go on to actually get to play against all of the N1 guys in Seattle. What was that day like being in the gym for like a legitimate N1 streetball tour game?
I'm just going to quickly add that when Jared and I got the email that we were going to be on No Dunks, we kind of reacted the same way and just
ran around.
I held my laptop. No.
Yeah, going to N1, man. That was a freaking dream come true. Like, especially to go down there with all your boys. Like, I think we had like two or three cars. We got to the gym. There was a massive lineup around the block. We were a bit worried about, like, we didn't have permission to film, so we had to sneak the camera in like under our jacket, you know. And then you're just out on the court. Oh, there's Hot Sauce, there's Headache, there's like Sick With It. And then, but the guys were just like, knew they belonged and they just went at them.
Yeah. And I mean, there's some incredible highlights, things that like still look mind blowing to see in 2024, even though they're happening 20 years ago. I don't know. Other things that really stuck out to me was you did a huge photo shoot with Slam Magazine, and it's like you're doing stuff with N1, you're doing stuff with Slam Magazine. Those are like the absolute peaks of streetball, especially during the time frame right then when streetball was at its biggest. What was it like getting the call from Slam Magazine saying, hey, we actually want to do a story on you guys, everybody knows who you are, tell us about it?
It was one of those things that you kind of keep on not believing if it's going to happen, you know. They're like, okay, this is the date. And we're like, yeah, we'll see. And then, I mean, I think we say it in the movie, but just like, that's like the peak of being a basketball player was being in Slam and like the badass photo shoot. David Ellingson was the photographer. He did both of the shoots. He just like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like, it was very, very, very exciting. And Joey was in Punks, I think a few years before, just by himself, which was really cool. And then to get the most of the whole crew in, because we screwed up and didn't have Jermaine there and some other guys, but was, you know, it was a dream come true.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the toughest parts of the movie. Certainly the leaving Jermaine out of the slam photo shoot, but then you get to kind of come back full circle and do the reunion photo shoot where everybody's a part of it. What was it like having conversations with Jay Fresh about how things went down with Slam Magazine back in the day?
Yeah, that was a really important part of the movie, and I think really an important conversation for Jer and I and Jermaine to have, and it was something we probably should have done way back in the day with him. But it was good to just like hear him out, hear how he's feeling, and hear some of the reasons why he was upset with us, and we got to, I mean, sort of explain things from our end, but like you said, it kind of worked out in the end. We got to reconcile it and get him in Slam eventually. So yeah, now we're all on good terms. So it's a happy ending.
Yeah. It's like a Will Smith and Aunt Viv. They just have their, you know, they're all good. They're all good. I love hearing you guys and on the message boards, hearing about all that and how big these guys were when they were younger. And I know they received some hate because people didn't like their street ball and all that, but I just want to hear some of the stories about how big a celebrities felt like these guys were 20 years ago, just playing street ball.
I mean, it was like, they were just the cool. I mean, they still are just the coolest people. Like the hanging out with those guys, you just always felt like you were hanging out with a rock star, even before the first mixtape came out. Cause everybody just knew them just from like basketball courts and just like, yeah, riding around on like public transit with Goosebumps was just like the coolest I've ever felt in my life. Cause those guys just carry themselves like stars, but in a super approachable way. And that's like Joey would just get mobbed. Like everywhere we went, everybody knew him. It's funny cause King Handles is a very popular nickname, but it was just Joey, Joey, Joey. Where's Joey? What's Joey going to do? Cause he's just got like, you know, like the super smile. He makes everybody feel like they're a part of it everywhere he goes. So like, it's one of the, you know those people, you know, that like everyone you'd meet, you'd say like, oh yeah, we're working on this mixtape. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm friends with Joey. And like, you probably actually just met him at an event, like, and mobbed him with 100 people, but he made you feel like, you know, he remembered you and he made you feel like you're part of something. So I think, just going into stores, they would be signing shoes and all this stuff. And then of course, like we would all go home to our part-time jobs and those guys would go back to high school and be working on trying to get their D1 tapes out and their SATs and stuff. So it was always like a big difference between the courts and back home, I think, for all of us.
Yeah. Were you guys helping at all with like the D1 tapes and stuff, like trying to get these guys recruited to go to college?
Yeah, we made a tape for Goosebumps and for King Handles and they shipped
it out. John and Dave,
yeah.
You kind of caught lightning in a bottle because everybody seems, like you're saying, very cool, very charismatic, but nobody seems like a dickhead at all when you're watching this, and which is, you know, with the way some of the things went down, maybe there could be some beef between you guys, but I thought everybody seemed to still like each other 20 years later, which is pretty surprising to me. Do you keep in touch with these guys? Are you still connected in any way?
Yeah, we still keep in touch quite a bit. Me, King Handles, Fingas, and Johnny Blaze were playing regularly in an early Sunday morning run at this community center. And then we just stopped because a few of us joined a league. But yeah, I see those guys regularly. Goosebumps lives in Edmonton, so we don't see him as much anymore. But yeah, we all keep in touch. We got a group chat going anytime something cool happens with the documentary or whatever. Like the other day, RZA and Chris Paul posted it to their story and everyone went crazy in the group chat. So we're definitely keeping in touch.
Yeah, that is really cool that you've got, I mean, huge names attached to this, executive produced by, like you're saying, Chris Paul and the RZA, along with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort, some Canadian legends there. How did you get those guys roped into this? Because I think that definitely lends some credibility to the project. And just, I mean, as Canadians and basketball fans, you got to be thrilled to have like two of the biggest Canadian names attached to the project as well.
Yeah, that came through Slam. Slam kind of came on to distribute the film along with Gravitas. And our guy at Slam RTG Features, Aaron Phillips, was like, we got to let's start sending this out. This movie's going to get seen, and started finding people as we were finishing it to kind of come on board. And the way the story goes that we were told was that they sent it to Chris Paul, and Chris Paul's like, I'm really excited about this. He has a production company called ODIP that's putting out all kinds of really cool documentaries and like black historical colleges in America documentaries, really cool stuff. And then he was like, this is how long ago this thing was kind of being processed. He went, you know what? I think like it's Canadian. I think my Canadian friends on OKC might like it, and just kind of like called SGA and Lou, and they're like, yeah, we're in, we'll watch it. And they're like, okay, now we're all in. And then around the same time, apparently we heard that RZA finally got back to us after we'd sent him the tape however long ago, and was like, I'm also in.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I think you said you had Wu-Tang on the old tapes, right? Like on the
that
old
very Hanotics. First clip that John was watching was like cut to The Mystery of Chess Box, and so like, and like Chris Paul Sham Gods is, yeah, you know, it's like brought a little tear to my eye.
Yeah, that's really cool. Kirk, you said you still play with these guys sometimes. They still got it?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Joey's playing every single day, pretty much. I'm in a league right now. I'm not on the same team as Six, but he's in the same league as me. And believe it or not, he was like one of the league leading rebounders. Huh. Just what? For a little guy. But yeah, I would get there and watch some of his games. He's still shooting threes from deep. Yeah, I think they're all pretty much playing still.
That's awesome. I think, I mean, like Joey to me seems like completely ahead of his time. It's like a career now to be a street ball player. And I think it's pretty cool that he's had like a second life on his Instagram channel, like going against Devin the Lab and the Hezzy God, guys that like are today's big street ball players. That's really cool. What's it like being on the festival circuit? Because like you said, this project really started for you guys again back when Chris Paul was still on the OKC Thunder. And that's what, two teams ago for Chris Paul at this point. But since then, you debuted at the Vancouver International Film Festival. I'm guessing they probably call that VIF. I know they call it TIFF in Toronto. But
nailed
I think
it. You nailed it.
But what's it like going all over the place, showing this movie to different people?
I feel like the VIF screening was sort of the most fun because the whole crew was there. And that's what felt like a reunion. And you were talking about the kind of Will Smith, Aunt Viv. I feel like Jermaine was on stage with us and spoke in the Q&A after, and it just felt like this whole filmmaking process, I think, was just something that was a huge, huge part of kind of Kirk and I's coming of age, and I think probably these guys' is coming of age too. And it to be able to like feel like we're finishing it now with it coming out in a way that feels really satisfying. It just like, it was a long time where I like wasn't talking with these people that are sort of my heroes. And now we're on this group chat all together because of this thing that we made. It just feels really, really good. It feels really, really like a powerful part of our lives that we can kind of enjoy in a new way. And then traveling to the film festival, Kirk, I live in Toronto. So it was really lovely to have the film screen at Hot Docs, which is one of the great documentary festivals. So he came out, our cinematographer Hunter Wood came out with his family and we all got to watch it there. Rory and Joey came out. And then we didn't travel. Kirk, you traveled to New York. So maybe we could talk about that.
Yeah, I'll just add though for VIF, it was so fun watching it there with everybody in the crowd because there was a lot of basketball players. So like we've watched the movie with other people like, maybe more into film, but the people that were into ball, anytime there was like a street ball move up on the screen, like the crowd was going crazy. It was a pretty rowdy night, I thought. But yeah, New York was another highlight. We got there a couple days early. Me and Joey linked up with this other street ball guy, Ant One. He's very big on Instagram, and we got to play at the West 4th courts, which was another highlight of this whole thing for me. But yeah, we got to go to New York after that. And then most recently in Indiana for All-Star Game.
Yeah, it's crazy the doors that basketball can open for you. Like, I mean, you guys have been around the world now doing this kind of stuff and, you know, selling the tapes around the world. Obviously, there's some great scenes in the documentary of Joey throughout the rest of his career. I think you said that another documentarian helped with that stuff and was making stuff about Joey and like going back overseas to Asia and that kind of stuff and the huge impact he's had there. What's like the thing that's kind of like blown your mind the most throughout the whole process, whether it be back when you were in your early 20s getting responses around the globe. I was reading some kind of profile and people were like wowed that they got an email from Estonia. Nobody knew what Estonia was, which I thought was pretty hilarious. But you've been a lot of places, you met a lot of people through this. What's something that's like happened for you? You're like, no way, I can't believe we're really doing this.
I think the NBA Street, I think the NBA Street thing was really, really wild. That if people haven't seen it, then if you know the video game, the EA Sports NBA Street Volume 2, it's like a classic basketball video game.
Yeah.
And it's, you do all these, you guys could probably speak to it being like, it's a classic, Trey, like back me up here, right?
Oh, I definitely like that. We played that all throughout college, playing all the time. And I don't know, I guess maybe I was just naive and didn't know how they made video games, but I never really thought about the fact that somebody was really doing these moves for the characters to be able to do them in the game.
Yeah, so we got an email from, because they made NBA Street 1 and people thought it was cool, but it wasn't a big deal. And they're making it in Vancouver at EA Sports, which is where we all were. And we got an email saying like, hey, you guys are like a local streetball crew. You know, why don't you come in and visit the office? And pretty sure they brought us, and as soon as that they said that, we were like, imagine we could be Goosebumps in a video game. We were losing our minds. But when they brought us in, you could tell it was way more like community outreach. Like they're like, check this out, guys, you'll think this is cool, you know. And then but we secretly had brought like a really early copy of the Nautic 2, which was so much more in terms of the creativity of all these guys was on display. And because the Nautic 1 is shot in like 2 days, so the Nautic 2 is like an entire year of just like going out missioning with Goosebumps and David Dazzle to make this stuff happen. And so we played this tape and we could watch the producers of NBA Street, their eyes kind of go wide of like, oh, there's a lot of new moves here, like a lot of things that no one's ever seen before. And so fast forward to a month later and Kirk had to work at Rogers Video, but I'm sitting next to the director of NBA Street on this motion capture stage. Of course, back then, like everything everybody wore was like FUBU triple XL. So just seeing King Handles walk out in like a skin tight outfit with like ping pong balls all over it, like yeah. Everyone was going like bananas about it. And we're just sitting there and they're just doing like move after move. And like, I was thinking about this, like, I just imagine, I don't know what like TASS's signature move is, but imagine you like get a video game one day and you hit like up, down, left, right, BA start, and it does like the TASS signature spin move. And Bobito Garcia's like, you know, it's off the meat rack of Zony. And the thing comes up and it's like the Flabbergaster. Some totally goofy name. And so, yeah, just like being able to this day press up, down, left, right, BA start and do like the Goosebumps hopscotch is just like, it never gets old. It's just the wildest thing.
Yeah. I think it's a Volume 4 that they have your signature hook shot right, in right. The game.
You yeah. Get yeah,
a
game yeah. It's, a hook shot, my bad.
It's pretty exciting, but it's hard to pull off.
It's awesome. They got you in two.
Yeah. The one legged fadeaway, the wide open layup. How do you do that one? B, it's pretty simple. The Book of Goosebumps. I couldn't believe that was a real thing. This guy talking about, like, he comes up with moves in his head, writes them down, and then pulls them off. I'm like, yeah, sure. Sounds like a great story. And then you guys actually show the Book of Goosebumps? Does he still have it? Are there still moves somewhere deep in there that he could pull out eventually?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we went to Edmonton to film his portion of the documentary, and we're like, yo, do you still have the book? And he still got it. Like, it's up on his shelf. It's all like torn up and stuff, but yeah, he's got all his moves written out, and the way he writes them out is so funny. It's just like, first I'm gonna start dribbling and shit, then I'm gonna like do some low dribbles, get the guy to reach, and then I'm gonna jump over him. Like it's just,
yeah, but
he writes it down exactly.
It's more than that. It's like then I wave to the crowd. Maybe there's a girl sitting courtside. maybe me and John come up and do that handshake that we once did at Bear Creek Park. Like every move is just like an essay.
That's amazing. Yeah, it looks like a legitimate religious text. Like when he pulls out the book and it's all tattered. What an incredible scene. I mean, we saw this about a month ago. I've been trying to dribble as low as these guys can. It's impossible. Like the ball is bouncing an inch off the ground or something like that. The craft to it, I think, is amazing. And between how much you're going out and filming and how much practice has to go into it, this was basically your entire lives, it feels like, at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we wanted to do is make movies and play basketball. And the fact that we got to hang around these guys who are so good at it, it just made things a lot more exciting. So it's definitely all we wanted to do.
There's obviously,
and they were definitely practicing way, way, way more. Like every time the camera stopped rolling, like you said, I've never seen anybody else do the Johnny Blaze finger dribble stuff to this day.
I was like trying to do anything where I was bouncing the ball that low off the ground and I'm just rolling the ball, which I mean, sometimes they were doing that as well. There's a lot of rolling here. But yeah, it was, there's some wild stuff to see in here. And I've seen, and I heard you guys say after we watched the screening, there's more stuff that people still haven't seen. So do you think we'll see it eventually?
Yeah. I mean, the Nautic 3 right now is in a file on Jared's laptop that says 2023 taxes. We're trying not to get anyone to like hack into his computer and steal it. we're trying to plan a Nautic day in Vancouver sometime in the summer. And I think the idea there is to maybe do like an open run or some sort of 3-on-3 tournament and then do like a big worldwide release and just have everyone in the city come and watch it.
Very cool.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. I'm just overwhelmed. As you say, all the stuff that we watched, I mean, congrats to you guys. This is great that it's been released worldwide now, after like 20 years. People have been waiting for this. People have been waiting. And you guys called it like street basketball's greatest brotherhood. You've explained it as that, and it feels like that. I want to know, maybe because I just want to be a little bit angry right now, there were some people who didn't like the way they play basketball, which is very, very strange. How much hate, or was there any hate in Vancouver when these guys were doing their thing and being awesome, frankly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely starting off it sounds anachronistic, but the message boards were just like a constant stream of hate. I mean, especially back then in Vancouver, I think there wasn't nearly the same kind of visibility for Black people. There's less Black people in Vancouver than there is in other parts of North America, I think. So there was tons of racism that these guys were dealing with in terms of and connecting the kind of racism against Black people and people of color to the style of play, I think was really, really common. And then there's way more lots of like, you know, kind of classic street ball beef and come out and I'll destroy you. And, you know, you're not gonna be able to pull those moves on me and that kind of stuff, which was always lovely because we could go film it and watch those guys get proven wrong.
So you said you've got the Nautic 3 is somewhere on your computer. I have to imagine the editing process is a little bit different than when you did 1 and 2.
It's kind of the same. I think like, because we needed to put it together before the screening of the screened like a rough cut of the doc to all the crew. And then we screened the Nautic 3 and it was like the night before trying to finish it. And it's still just like, you know, Kirk is like, what if the basketball goes through the graffiti bars? and then he's like, I'm the more technical person in this. So he's like, he like goes to bed and then he wakes up. It's like, yeah, it looks okay. But I think it's just like, yeah, we just put all the clips on the timeline and kind of yell out what we think is, I mean, back then I think there was a lot of effects and like I said, graffiti bars. And now I think in a good way, like street basketball editing has moved way more into just like, let's watch it slow-mo. Let's see it from a couple angles and watch it hit as hard as possible. So Nautic 3 is a lot more simple and it's just full of, I'd say there's like a dozen moves, like full moves that people have never seen before. Rory handstands over people's heads, goosebump stuff that just like, it's cool to think. I don't think any of that stuff's ever been done and it's been 20 years. And then King Handles has like this era of style where he's doing these bendy knee things that even he doesn't really do anymore. I'm blabbing about it. I'm very excited for people to see this stuff. Most of it hasn't been seen.
I can't wait to see it. And it must be just such like a fun thing for you too. I know you've stayed friends since then, but to actually like get to work on a project and go down memory lane together, like, oh yeah, remember when we did this? Because there's so many scenes in the documentary where you're just like traveling around. You had to drive places to get to Seattle, right? Like to get to the And One tour. Has it been fun being together, like working on something that you're going to be put out to the world once again?
Yeah, I mean, Jared and I have been best friends since grade 7, and I think it's been, what, 6 or 7 years now since he moved up to Toronto, so we still talk on the phone every other day, but I don't get to see him as much, so the fact that we got to work on this project together and also, like, kind of put a close on the whole Nautic era, do the documentary, finish the Nautic 3, it's been awesome.
You said you're watching it back and you're seeing how, you know, it's the And One days, so everybody's wearing a lot longer shorts. Did it make you long for the days of baggy clothing on the basketball court?
I never understood how everyone was able to do all those tricks with those shirts like that. Kirk used to did a move. Kirk invented a move called the blindfold that you don't see in the documentary, where he like does a move on the guy that puts the shirt over the guy's head. So like you can't do that in tight shirts, but
you need a baggy shirt for a lot of the ball under the shirt moves. But man, Kirk, you got a move with a nickname. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, and Hot Sauce actually did it in one of the tours, and so I'm gonna take credit for that. I got a move stolen off me by Hot Sauce, so that's my claim to fame in the streetball world.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Better than being nicknamed the turnover machine, I think.
Come on.
Not trying to break you guys up or anything, but it seems to be a one-way street here.
Fair.
What else? What else should we know about the movie? I know there's a great, very small No Dunks cameo, and I'm curious to hear whose coffee mug was it?
Yeah, that was mine.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been fans of you guys since the Basketball Jones days, and when we were making this movie, we were like, imagine like we get on No Dunks and you know, just chop it up with you guys. So like, how can we increase our odds? Let's drop a little Easter egg. And then, now here we are.
Well, it paid off.
Yeah,
100% paid off. That was like opening up the trunk to a full case of And One shoes for us. We're in a movie now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were on top of the world. Slam Magazine up next. Just a picture of that mug. But guys, this was awesome. This movie, I think you got to see it if you're a basketball fan. For me, it was like it was almost a Hoop Dreams version of the And One mixtape tour, and just seeing the progress of all the characters that are there, seeing how Joey traverses his career in the NBA, seeing Disaster, the way he joins the crew, the way he falls on hard times, the way he's able to get reintegrated. We mentioned the stuff with Fresh. There's so much cool stuff. There's heroes. I don't really think there's villains. I know there's a little controversy between you guys, but is there anything else you want to tell us about Handle With Care?
I gotta just plug Joey does basketball camps around the country and around the world, and you definitely should get your kid to have King Handles teach them how to ball handle, and his fundamentals are super strong, and it's like the funnest thing in the world to watch a 14-year-old girl with like a really sweet in and out just kill somebody. Yeah. So highly recommend Joey's camps. Other than that, Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, Trey, it's available on Apple TV and Prime, YouTube.
Vimeo internationally.
Vimeo internationally. So, yeah, we're just looking forward to people finally getting to watch it.
And I think I would feel sad if we didn't just like we invited you guys out to this screening in Indianapolis, and we were really excited about it as really, really big fans. And we're sitting there in the theater, and when you guys walked in, the whole crew walked in, it was just like, it was a really, really powerful moment. And I just feel like there's a lot of like No Dunks fans out there that I'd love to say like that meeting you guys and hanging out with you guys a little bit at the screening, it was just like the people that you seem like on screen and on the podcast, I feel like you seem like you really genuinely are. And it's just, I don't know, it's cool to meet your heroes sometimes, and thank you for that, and thank you for this.
Oh, well, thanks for saying that. Y'all are very kind, and if you ever want to look through thousands and thousands of hours of behind-the-scenes footage, we've had phones for, like, the entirety of the career that we've built here. If you want to go through a ton of videos of Lee Ellis practicing his handles, I've got them. If you want to see Tass's hookshot, I've got it.
We're down to make a No Dunks documentary.
Yeah, not kidding. Like, let's actually make this happen. I think this would be a really sick story. Yeah, you think we're joking, but like when the anniversary comes, call us, because I think we can make a cool movie together for real.
Exciting wow. times, but wow. You guys are the plugs. Actual people on top right now. Please go check out with Handle With Care, the legend of the Nautic Streetball crew. Kirk, you said you run the Instagram, the Nautic Streetball. I think that's a must follow as well, because once you watch this movie, you're gonna want to see everything that happened once again.
Yeah, yeah. Hit up the Nautic Streetball on Instagram.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be in touch about the future documentary coming here.
I don't, you just said it. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah, we're gonna hold you to it now. And we'll be back as well on Monday for more podcasts about NBA basketball. But until then, check out Handle With Care, and we'll see you later.